Welcome to Parashas Boy, Tov Shin Ayin Dalet. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, the very first pasuk, Boy El Paroi, Kani Hichbadeti Es Liboy, Vesleva Vodov, Leman Shisi Oisoisai Be'elev Bekirboy. I've hardened his heart, we're going to have fun. We're going to have some action over here. Later on, Moshe goes to Paro, warns him about the forthcoming plague of the locusts, and he tells him everything's going to be eaten up. And in Pasuk Vav, Moshe finishes his speech, Vayifen Vayetze Min Paro. He turns and he leaves. Why are you leaving? Why not wait for his response? So say the Mefarshim. I heard this name of the Magid Midubna. There's no one to speak to. When you leave a message in the answering machine, you phone me back. You don't wait for a response. You're shut. You shut the line because there's no one there. You're speaking to no one. Right. So he's just been told that Paroi doesn't have Pira. So go home. There's no one to speak to. Well, in fact, it's a machlokes rishonim. If this is true, that there's no one to speak to. Shitas haRambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Vav. The Rambam learns literally that indeed Paroi did not have any more Pira. That's how the Rambam learns. How could a person be punished for something he doesn't have a choice in the matter? Is that fair to punish someone if he has no choice? Says the Rambam. True, now he has no choice, but initially he did have a choice, and therefore a person can sin so much he can put himself in a situation where he api din, he doesn't deserve pira anymore. He will be punished even though he has no longer any choice, because it's a follow up from his original choice. He chose to disobey, so he's putting himself in a situation that he will be punished. That's Shitas HaRambam. Ask de kach, the Rambam asks, so if so, why is Moshe Rabbeinu being sent to speak to Paroi then? There's no one home. What's the purpose of warning him if anyway he has no choice? Ask the Rambam. Answer the Rambam, he writes, it wasn't for Paroi. There was no one to speak to. It was for people to see, look how much you could fall. A person can fall so much, he'll be warned, and he still won't have the ability to get himself out of his bad situation. It's to show others that power had no pira, and to teach a lesson that you could sin so much that there's no choice but to be punished. You will not be able to save yourself. That's Shitas HaRambam. Therefore, Vayifen, Vayitzemim Paroi, there's no one to speak to, so leave. Moshe Rabbeinu delivers his message. It's not for Paroi, it's for everyone else. So I don't need to wait for him to hear what he has to say. I'm going to leave. That's Shitas HaRambam. But other Rishonim learn differently. It's to be found that the Ramban brings it down, the Sforno, the Sefer Ikrim, and they learn that Paroi did have Pira. What does it mean? What does it mean that Hashem hardened his heart? The answer is that even a person who has the right to choose, but there's certain situations that there's no choice. Could we choose to stick our hand into fire? No, because it's so painful, it's not possible to leave your hand into fire. The consequences are so clear that we cannot, we're forced to choose not to enter the fire. What did Hashem do? He took away that hechreach, that necessity, to obey. In other words, logically speaking, if you receive makkah after makkah after makkah after makkah, you have no choice but to give in. You're losing. Because you feel, every time you get the makkah again, you realize there's no choice. It's like fire. Hashem took that pachad away. That recognition, that awareness that I have no choice, it's fire, Hashem took away. Therefore, power is left with this free choice. The mashal, to explain this, antidote, is, there's once a Jew who had a trial with a goy, and the judge was an anti-Semitic judge. So the Jew waited in the parking lot for the judge to drive in, and as the judge gets out of the car, he hands him $1,000 bill. The judge takes the bribe, but he says, "Hey, you're a Jew. Doesn't it say in your Torah not to give bribes?" Says the Jew, "It's true. I'll tell you why. The reason not to give bribes is that the judge should be fair, should be balanced. And once you give a bribe, you're not balanced in the favor of the guy who gave you the bribe. But you're anti-Semitic. So you already are balanced the other way. By me giving you a bribe, you're now balanced. So now we can have a fair trial." So therefore, when a person gets makkah after makkah, he's no longer balanced. He's already tilted. He's forced to give in. What Hashem did, what it says in Chabadati is Libra, it means that I allowed him to black out and to be unaware of how dangerous things are, and he's left to be balanced. He's now left with Paroi, as if there's no outside threat. He's not forced to agree. So he's left to himself, he's left to be a Paroi, and therefore it was his bad choice to disobey. This week I was invited to give a lecture about Emunah in a certain seminary. So I was standing in the bus stop, and someone in the bus stop, a stranger, introduced himself to me. He heard me speaking in English, so kind of felt connected. So, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" "Emunah, oh, let me tell you a story." This is a total stranger in the bus stop. "Fine, okay, I want to hear it." Probably started with Shmaya. The guy wants to tell me a story about Emunah just in the way I'm about to give the lecture. So that's sounds interesting. So he tells me that he was learning in a kollel in Memphis, and there was a certain scientist who would come and study, would join in with the kollel, and he would come every day, would come excited with the new discoveries they've made through the microscope, and he had new insights in the greatness of the creation and how complex the universe is, how you could see Yad Hashem. Would come so excited every day and say, "Wow, you know what we discovered, you know." So this guy asked him, you come from the laboratory every day and you see Yad Hashem, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the laboratory. What about your fellow workers, the goyim, your fellow scientists? They're also looking through the microscope. They see what you see. How is it they don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're not seeing it. How could that be? You both look in the same glass, and yet you see Hashem and they don't. So the scientist answered, the Jewish scientist answered, "I'll tell you the story. I'll tell you the moshul. There were once two people walking at night together, Reuben and Shimon. And they hear, there was a bush. They were passing by a bush, and they hear a movement in the bush. There's some animal, some creature inside the bush. They tried to look. It was dark. They couldn't see. So Reuben says, "I think It's a bird. There's a bird inside the bush. And Shimon says, no, I think it's a cat. Reuben says it's a bird. And Shimon says it's a cat. And Reuben says it's a bird. And Shimon says it's a cat. And they start to argue. Cat, bird, cat, bird, cat, bird. Oh, so how are we going to find out who's right? So they realized, let's make a test. Let's take a stone and throw it in the bush. And if we'll see something flying up in the air from the bush, that's a proof that it was a bird. And if we'll see something escaping on the ground, we know it was a cat. So they take the stone and they throw it in the bush, and guess what? Something comes flying up in the air. Reuben says, "Hi, I told you it's a bird." Says Shimon, "You know what? If I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. A flying cat." That's the truth. So therefore, when I'm in the laboratory, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I see Chochmas HaBoreh. But they just see, oh, evolution is apparently even more complex than we thought it is. So another 100 million years we'll add on the list. Give it another 100 million. It's a flying cat. Oh, the Big Bang is even more complex than we think it was. But they don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't want to see it. Same idea. Person doesn't want to see, won't see it. Because Abol Tame Poischim Loi. Person doesn't want to believe, will not be forced to believe. The free choice is always there. Even Paroi still had the free choice. And the Machriach is taken away. Okay, Abdei Paroi come to complain and say, "Paroi, listen, what are you doing? You're destroying the country." So in Pasuk Ches, Vayushav es Moshe ves Aaron el Paroi. Paroi calls him back. Vayom aleim, l'chu ibdu es Hashem elokeichem. Go. Mi v'mi ha'olchim? Mi v'mi? Who and who are going? Vayom Moshe, bino reinu biskineinu leich, neleich. Bivoneinu, bivnoiseinu, bitzoineinu, bivkoreinu, neleich. Ki chag Hashem lon. We're going to take everyone. And says Paroi, "No. I see this raw neged pneichem. Bad's going to happen to you. L'chuna, leike, n'chuna advarim. The men should go. V'ibdus Hashem, ki oiso atem avakshim. You wouldn't want men to go, right? So just go the men. V'igoresh oisem pnei Paroi. Threw them out. Question is, why did Moshe ever request it's only for the men? Paroi assumes, Paroi says, go take the men, ki oiso atem avakshim. You only want the men to go. Where did Paroi get this idea from? It's only for the men. It's only for a selected part of the Jewish nation. Okay. So? Why? Rashi says derech hagvarim. So I saw a beautiful pshat. I saw this in the Lekach Toiv. The Medrash says, when Paroi asked, "Mi v'mi ha'olchim?" Paroi was referring to the pasuk of "Mi yale v'har Hashem, u'mi yokum b'mkoyim kotchoy." Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Who can stand in the har Hashem?" It's Nakir Kapayim Bar Leilov Bar Leibov. Asher Yonasa Lashav Nafshi. That's what Paro is referring to. Mi v'mi olchim, meaning Paro is referring to you. You want to do a religious act to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's only the miuchadim, the special people can go. The mi yale bar Hashem. Not everyone can go up into Har Hashem. You have to be at a very high level. So mi v'mi olchim. Can't take everyone. You're doing. You want to serve Hashem. So take the special. The selected group. What's Para echoing? It's the Goish idea. That there's, you have the priests, you have the nuns. There's a selected group. They keep the religion going. Everyone else can live a normal life. This is the Goish idea. Religion's for the special. The monasteries. That's where you're going to find the religion. The mi v'mi olchim, the miuchadim, mi yale bar Hashem. Not for everyone. Zok to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, b'ino reinu b'zkinin v'ech, b'v'neinu b'bnei seinu. The Jewish idea is not that way. We, the same Tariag mitzvahs that are applicable to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Chofetz Chaim has to keep, a child, of a boy of 13 years old has to keep. There's no difference. There's no difference. The same chumash that a kid in Cheder learns, then Gdolei HaDor learns the same chumash. The same Gemara the kid learns in Cheder, Gdolei HaDor learns the same Gemara. Because by us it's everyone together. But hepech, binoreinu bizkreinu neilech, we want our kids to go as well, because that's the way they're going to grow. It's not just the skenim. We want everyone to come, everyone to learn. I once heard from a very great rabbi. I'm not saying his name because maybe it's not Lechvayda. Someone you all know of, heard of. He's not alive anymore. And he told us that he was traveling on a plane in the smoking department. Used to be you could smoke on the plane. So he was smoking, and a goy said to him, "Hey, you're a rabbi. Why are you smoking?" So he told us he wanted the answer back. In your question, you're making a mistake in your question. What does it mean? What does it mean? You are a rabbi, why are you smoking? If it's also to smoke, everyone's also to smoke. If it's mutter to smoke, everyone can smoke. There's no different rules for a rabbi. He didn't tell it to him because he didn't want to teach the goy Torah. But that was his inner response. There's no such thing. There's no different rules for the rabbis for everyone else. What? That idea is not. It's just a manifestation of Kiddush Hashem. It's not really a different law. Also, a simple Jew can't do Chil Hashem. It comes out in different ways. It's not really a different. It doesn't have a different Torah. Just have to be more careful, right? Some people are very sensitive to cold. Some people are not so sensitive, so they have to be more careful. But they all have the same body. It's not a different body. So that's the idea. So we our kids, we give them everything. We give them b'noreinu b'zkeneinu l'neilech. We have to give them the full education. So they should be like the skenim. It's not just a select group. Everyone has to be exposed. Okay. In the same pasuk, so Paro tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he shouldn't go. Why? Pasuk Yud, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud. Ru'u ki ra'o neged p'neichem. There's bad in front of you. Don't go. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Medrash Haggadah. There's a star called Ra'o. And Paro says to them, I see in my its darkness, in my stargazing, I see the stars against you. This star symbolizes blood and death. Therefore, I see from through the stars, I see that you're gonna die. You're gonna be bleeding in the midbar. But what really was it about? Really, it was about Chetah Egel. That's what you're seeing. And Chetah Egel, indeed, Hashem wanted to kill Am Yisrael, but the blood was exchanged for the blood Hamila. So Rashi brings down. Zokta Michtav Melio, Chelik Aleph, page 185. And what about to say is all from there. Says Serge of Desla, there's a very big message in this Rashi. He wants to understand, how could it be that literally Paro could see in the stars what will be? There's a very fundamental question. How can we have Pira if Hashem knows what's going to be? This is a very famous question asked by the Rambam. We have Pira to do good or to do bad. Hashem knows what we will choose. So it has to be that way. Hashem knows that tomorrow we're going to do an Avera Chas V'Shalom. So it has to be done. How can I choose to do good tomorrow if He knows I'll do bad? This is a famous question you've heard before. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, and the Rambam says we can't understand. We cannot understand the question, the answer. But kachazeh, Hashem. The same way we can't understand Hashem, we can't understand this either. How could it be that He knows and we still have free choice? Fine, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's above the creation. For us, Rav Desla, how could it be the stargazers, who are part of the creation, how that they could see Abhira? How could that be? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a question. Okay, we know we don't understand. But the stargazers are a part of the system. How could it be they know Abhira and we still Abhira? That's impossible. That's Rav Desla, what his question is. Therefore, says Rav Desla, he brings the Medrash in Parshas B'Shalach that says that the Torah was given to Oichrei Haman. Where was the Torah given? In Midbar Sinai. What were we eating? The man. The Torah was only given to Oichrei Haman. It says, what's chapter? Is it by random? Why was the Torah chosen to be given in the Midbar? Okay, we understand it cannot be given in Mitzrayim because we're Memtes Shari Tumah. It cannot be given in Eretz Yisrael because we have to come into Eretz Yisrael with the Torah. But why Midbar? Why was the Torah given in the Midbar where life cannot exist in the Midbar? It is not possible to sustain a nation in the Midbar of Piderech HaTeva. It's just not possible. There's no water, there's no food. Says Rav Desla, it's not by mikra, it's not by chance. Because, says Rav Desla, Teva and Torah are contradictory. The natural outlook contradicts Torah, meaning, Api Teva, to be in the Midbar is a churban. If you're using natural eyes, it's a churban. To take the people into the Midbar, it's a churban. But that's where Torah is. Torah is above Teva. Therefore, the Torah was given to Oichrei Haman. People have no sense statements. That's what Torah was given to Oichrei Haman. So Paro sees raw p'neket p'neichem. I see bad. You're going to the Midbar. He's looking with the Teva. It's a churban. But really, fakert, that's what Torah is given. So what do you see? In Chetah Egel, we fell. In Chetah Egel, we lost it. We went back to Teva. So it's really a churban. We have to be redeemed with Dam HaMilah. Says Rav Desla, same thing with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu And Parash Lech Lecha says, Mati tenli, Hanoichi Oleich Hariri, I'm barren. And Hashem says, Vayotzi Oitza Achutza. What does that mean? Says Rashi. He says, go out to go, you're looking at the stargazers. I'll be the stargazer, you have no children. Go out. What does that mean? Again, Alpi Teva, there's no way that the Am Yisrael can be built. But you go above that. Go out of the stargazers. Go out of the Koach HaTeva. Go to Mara Min HaTeva. And therefore, says Rav Dessler, someone who has an Nisoyon to keep Shabbos. He has an Nisoyon to keep Shabbos. Why is that happening? Because he's looking with his natural eyes. He sees clearly. To keep Shabbos is Churban. He sees it. If I'm going to close my store on Shabbos, I'm going to go bankrupt. All my clients will go to my competitors who open on Shabbos. He sees it clearly. He sees it's a Churban. He's looking with his clever eyes. But you know what? If you'll keep Shabbos, you'll see that things will work out. Because Torah is lemalam in atepa. Says Rav Dessler, a person who wants to be very, very, very financially stable. So he sees to be a bentor as can't do it. He sees it as a churban. But there's koach lemalam in atepa. See, Rav Dessler brings down those once. There was once a big meeting with Rav Chaim Oizer, and someone said, "There's no way these yeshivas can survive. Yeshivas can't last because they have no financial base backing. There's nothing solid." So Rav Chaim said, "No, Adarabba, yeshivas are going to stand on an ace. Because you look at Apit Teva, there's no way the yeshivas can survive. But it works out." And he brings to the Chofetz Chaim, was unhappy. Someone wanted to give a big sum of money to be a Karen. That is a principal. To be principal? A fund. And the yeshiva would have the fruit. They would benefit the fruit. Chofetz Chaim wasn't happy. He said, why? You could use the money right now to spread more Torah. Why should you put money away? Why? Use it right now. That was the Chofetz Chaim's hashgacha. Because again, a pit teva, it seems great to have a yeshiva with a good fund, and then for the next 50 years they get fruits. That's a pit teva. Chofetz Chaim pitom. Right now, there's so many people need to learn Torah. Why do you want to store the money away? You spend it right now. Because it's a different. All I said just now is all from Rav Dessler. You look yourself in Chelek Aleph, page 180. 5 or 6. Oh, because Paro is looking with the teva eyes. So he saw them going to the midbar, so he saw Churban. But that's true. But the Torah is the man, I mean, a teva. So what indeed did he actually see? He saw something, because there, when they, after Chet HaEgel, they fell. They lost. They went back to teva. That's what he saw. Okay, we go to Makas Choshech, and in Perek Yud Pasuk of Gimel says, "Lo ro ish es achiv, lo kamu ish mitachto shleiches yamim." The midstream couldn't see, and for 3 days they couldn't even move. The darkness was so thick. V'lechol bnei Yisrael haya or b'moshvaysam. Am Yisrael had light. Says the Medrash Rabbah, Perek Yud Dalet, Ois Gimel. How is it Yisrael had light? What light did they have? Says the Medrash, Avaleim Nemar, Ner Leragli Dvarecha V'Oil Nisivasi, Ner Leragli Dvarecha. Your words are nearer to me, are like a light. So we see from here that in the greatest darkness, a darkness so strong that you can't even move. They still have light. What light do they have? The light of the Torah. The Torah will light up the darkness. How is that applicable today? Today do we have darkness? What darkness do we have?
Cultural.
Oh, very good. Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel and Beis, on the pasuk Toshes Choshech Vayhi Laila. What's that referring to? Says the Gemara, Ze Olam Hazeh Ha'adoyme LeLaila. This world is compared to darkness. Why? It seems bright outside. What's dark about this world? Right? Because in this world, we see the Cadillac. Whoo! Wow! We start to think moving side. Wait, look at that! Wow! Look at his car! Look at his house! Right? What is that? That's darkness. Why is it dark? Because it's the wrong perspective. The real perspective, the light. It's to realize this world is a praise door, and we're here to do good deeds. It takes the world to come. The nice house and the flashy cars are darkness. If you don't have the right perspective, what will give us the right perspective? Only through the awe of the Torah. That's the light we have. Millions of people are living in darkness. They're all missing the boat. They're wasting their time because they're in darkness. So that's the koach we have, koach haTorah. Makas Poros in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Hey says the Pasuk Umeis Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim Mipcho Paroi Hayushev El Kisoi Bat Pchor Ashifcho Asher Achar Rechayim Bechol Bechor Beima. All the firstborns are going to die, from the firstborn of Paroi to the Pchor of the Shifcho of the maid. And the question is, why to the poor of the maid, why should she die? The Egyptian nation, they enslaved the Jewish people. They deserve to be punished. But why would the Shifcha be punished? She's a captive herself. Says Rashi, V'lomu laku b'nei ha-shvachais. Why would the sons of the Shvachais punished? Says Rashi, Sha'af heim ayu mishtabdim bohem. Because they also were afflicting the Jewish people. Usmeichim betzorasam. They were happy with the sorrows of the Jewish people. They were happy. So what? What's so bad about being happy? They were forced to do it. Says the Maharal in the Gur Arya. Even though they were forced to enslave the Jewish people, the Bnei Shvachais also were commanded. They were the capos of the Egyptians. They were commanded to enslave the Jewish people as well. They were obeying commands. They were obeying orders. Why are they being punished? Says the Maharal. Because if you're happy, that means it's you. There's a world of a difference, someone who is doing things because he has to do it, or someone who's enjoying what he's doing. If you're doing things because you have to do it, it's not really me. I have no choice. It's not me. If I'm enjoying it, then it's me. Take your child to the nurse in Kopat Cholim. The doctor has prescribed, your child needs an injection. And your child's petrified. He sees a needle, big needle. And your child's screaming. And the nurse, she has to proceed. And she has to inject the needle into the child. The child's screaming and crying. Okay. She can't take it too much to heart. She has to do it. And she does it. That's fine. What will happen? Take the child into the nurse, and the child screaming,
nurse saying, yeah, great, we're going to have fun. See the needle? Ha! I'm going to press it into you.
What do you say about that nurse? She wants to enjoy the child's pain. What would you say about her? Huh? What do you say about her? She needs treatment. She's crazy. What happened? It's the same needle. What's the difference? Because if she's doing it, not besimcha, so she's forced to do it. You know, she recognizes this is the benefit of the child. So the child's screaming. She has to inject the child. That's fine. It's not her. She's doing what the doctor has decided needs to be done. But if she's enjoying it, that's her. It means you're enjoying the pain of a child. You should be fired on the spot. Right. Therefore, the Shvachis were forced to enslave the Jewish people. Fine. There's no choice. They're obeying orders. It's not them. If it's Besimcha, they're enjoying their binene from the Jewish sorrow. That's you. It's not the command. That shows it's you. The Simcha makes it you. Therefore, you're going to be punished like them. What's the message to us? I think there's a very big message over here. We see the Torah is very makpid about doing things for Simcha, doing mitzvahs for Simcha. When do we see that? In the Klalos we have Tachas Hashaloi Vadat Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tub Leiva. The Torah is telling us, why do you do things B'Simcha? What's so important about Simcha? We learn from here, it's a different world. A person who's doing, puts on tefillin because he has to do it. That's what people do. That's how he's been brought up. No, any Jew has to wear tefillin every day, so he just wraps on the tefillin. Oh, it's so late, I want to run, I want to get out of here. Or a person who's nene the simcha, the schus to have a tefillin. What a schus! I can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give my heart to Hashem, my mind, come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tusha. It's a different world. Why? Because the guy who's forced to do it, it's not really him. He just has to. It's a ritual he has to do. It's not really him. It's also a level. I'm not denying that. It's a level. But a person does it with simcha, it's him. He's doing the mitzvah. He's bringing a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's doing a mitzvah. It's a different world, the Gam. It's a completely different ball game. Because when you do things with simcha, it's you. We learn this from the negative. The same way that the Ben HaShifcha was doing what he had to do. It wasn't really him. But when he's nerdy from it, it's him. You're responsible. Likewise, we could take this idea for us ourselves. If we're doing a mitzvah because we have to do it, it's not really us. It's a very low level. Of course, we have prira, we're player, but it's not really us. But if we're nerdy from it, then it's us. Ooh, that's a korban HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a mitzvah. That's you. Oh, we're going to give you schar. Parakut Beis, Pasuk Chof Ches. It says, Vayelchu Vayasu. They've been commanded to get the Korban Pesach ready. And it says, Vayelchu Vayasu. They went and they did it. And the question is, why is the Torah telling me that they went to do it? They did it. Who cares about they went to do it? Vayasu. Bottom line, they did the Korban Pesach. Vayelchu Vayasu. Zogt Rashi, Afa Alicha Mona Mona. The Torah counts the walking as well. Liten Schar Halicha V'Schar Asiya. There's a double Schar. Schar for doing the mitzvah and Schar for walking for the mitzvah. So first of all, we learn over here that there's a schar even the preparations also get schar. Not only the mitzvah itself. Unlike in the material world, you get paid for results, you don't get paid for efforts. Right? The milkman who milked his cow doesn't say, well, pay me double because I had temperature today and I had fever and I still went to, it was very hard for me, I got out of bed to milk the cow. No, I don't pay you extra. I pay for milk. 5 bags of milk, I pay 5 bags. The fact that you it was difficult for you, you came in the snow, doesn't make me pay more. But in Torah it's not that way. We get schar for the effort we put in. Even for the alicha, we also get schar. But there's another point, a very important point over here, that what happens if so we see we get schar for doing the mitzvah. So the Gemara in Sukkah says that people who sell tefillin are called oiskim mitzvah, and therefore the part of Mikriya Shema we call mitzvah Shabbat Torah. The person selling tefillin is part of Mikriya Shema. He's called oisik mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. Says the Mishnah Brura in Siman Lamed Ches Sof Dalet, in the name of the Magen Avraham, it's only if his ikar kavana is to help people get tefillin. But if his ikar kavana is for to make money, then it's not called oisik mitzvah. He's doing just for a his equal purpose is for a parnasa. Sorry, it's not. You're not called oisik mitzvah. If your ikar kavon is to help people get fit in, people don't have, then it's called oisik mitzvah. And ask the Mishnah Brura. Question is, we find that by halva, Shitas Rabbi Akiva is if you give a loan and you have kavona for yourself. For example, the guy gives you the collateral and you need to use the collateral. The guy says, I need a loan from you, you can keep my car as a collateral. You say, you know what, I need the car, I'll drive the car, I'll take off from the loan. I want to use the mash coin. So that's called a mitzvah. It's called a mitzvah. So what's the difference? Why is it, even though his ikar kavanah is for himself, we don't care. You're doing a mitzvah. Says the Mishnah Brura. So we have a stira. Here we're finding, by the Moichrei Tefillin, we're finding that they have to have kavanah for the mitzvah. You don't have it, if they have kavanah for themselves, they're not getting, it's not called a mitzvah. And by the halva, it's called a mitzvah. Says the Mishnah Brura. The difference is, depends if it's hachana for a mitzvah, preparation for a mitzvah, or the mitzvah itself. By mitzvah itself, you don't need to have kavana for your. You can have kavana for yourself. It doesn't matter. But if it's just a preparation for a mitzvah, a heksha mitzvah, there it depends on your kavana. Therefore, if a person is eating matzahs, even though his ikar kavana, he's starving, hungry. He's hungry like anything. He hasn't eaten all day, and his ikar kavana is to eat. You're mekayim a mitzvah. But if you're baking matzahs, just the hachana, then you need to have kavana. Ikar kavana has to be for the mitzvah. If you're just baking for the unit parnasa, that wouldn't count as a mitzvah. Therefore, this could change our life. Things we're doing that are a heksha mitzvah, you're doing parnasa, you're driving, you're taking someone, you're a taxi driver, you're taking people around, it's a heksha mitzvah. Then you need to have ikar kavana, has to be to help people. Because still, you'd have to get money for yourself. But ikar kavana is to help people. You don't have that kavana, you're losing, you're not called a sigma mitzvah. But by mitzvah itself, then your ikar kavana doesn't matter. So if you're selling tefillin, it's only heksha mitzvah. So then your ikar kavana doesn't matter. So things we do, we have things which are heksha mitzvah, we should be careful to make sure that our ikar kavana is to do the mitzvah, and therefore we get the schar of the mitzvah, get schar even for the alicha. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you.